Good afternoon, Muskegon. Welcome to Community Focus. Hi, I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts. Melvin Burns II is ill today. Brother, I'm praying for you. This is a show formerly known as Torn Into. Welcome on this January 31st, 2025. Remember, this show is brought to you by Bishop Custom Series and Entertainment. For all your entertainment needs, see the bishop. And you know that trip to Africa is possible. Visit Tanzania for less and make that happen. The weather today is a high of 42, low of 28. Saturday, we're going to take a dip, high of 28, low of 18. Sunday, high of 40, low of 26. Monday, high of 36, low of 28. And the weather pattern will continue to go. We thank you for our sponsors. If you're interested in being one of our sponsors, please, you can call Janae or Big Rob at our code 231-722-8338 or 231-727-5007. If you're interested on coming on the show, you have something that you would like to talk about, we would like to address that. Couple things I want to talk about before we get our guests to come on is a day that's bittersweet for me, and I'll let our second guest talk a little bit about this when he comes on. Today is this would have been my mom's and grandmother's birth. They celebrated the same birthday on the 31st. And when I got up today to prayer and just reflect, I'm just happy to remember what those women instilled in my life. Neither were perfect. I had a mom that struggled, but she did everything to make sure that love was instilled in our household, values was instilled in our household, and I'm definitely appreciative to that. Grandmother that never missed a day of work, cleaned toilets at the hospital for 30 some odd years. She instilled that work ethic and the love of a family. So to them, it's bittersweet, but I know where they're at. I know where they're at, and it would be selfish for me to deny where they are going. So to my mother, Lorraine, they called her Mutt. And to my grandmother, Boo, they called it Happy Heavenly Birthday. No birthdays in heaven, but a celebration every day. But it also made me think, there are so many women out there. Hear me good. There's so many women out there that are raising kids on their own that struggle, but they do everything they possibly can to make that meal happen. It might not be what they want to do. They might even skip a meal. I know there was many times where that happened in our house that we could just get a meal. To those mothers out there, I say we do appreciate. Proverbs 31st talks about a virtuous woman and how precious they are. And they need to be appreciated. They need to be loved. They need to be supported. Don't wait till you have to put flowers on their grave to let them know that you understand, that you love them, that you care for them. Give them their love why they are here. So that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about. The other thing I wanted to talk about is that our top five events that happened this week. Of course, number one would be the terrible plane helicopter crash in the Washington, D.C. area. Our prayers are out to the families and the people that have been touched by this. But I also want to take it one step further to our president. And you know, this show is down the middle, but we have the obligation to tell you guys the truth to our president. Before you make statements on a crash that they don't know the facts, don't make assumptions. Let your people that do the work of finding out what is going on, let them prepare the answers before you make such statements. Number two, you decided to cut grants and stuff before you really thought about it. I suggest that you take the opportunity to look how that affects the American people. That's just my view. If you have a problem with it, see me. All right. With that said, I am so happy we have a first timer on the show today. She is the manager of Walker's Daycare Starter and Education. Put your hands together for Lavetta Bruce.
How are you today?
Good, but as normally we would do it, we would say, put your hands together for my sister over there.
All right, Bruce. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing, my sister?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
I was just talking about giving roses to our women out there that are working hard.
Thank you very much.
My roses out to you for what you do. Tell people a little bit about yourself and your business.
Okay. Well, my name is Lavetta Bruce, and I am the manager of Walker's Daycare Starter Education, LLC. We are a 30-year-old business. My mother is the CEO and owner. Her name is Elva Walker. We are transitioning over the last 8 months from a home daycare to a daycare center. We were on the first level of our home for 29 years, and now we are in a 7-classroom facility.
Wow.
With a capacity of 75 kids per shift.
75 per shift?
Yes.
What ages do that cover?
We service children from ages 0 to 5. That's our early on education with Early Start. We have children. The children of children that are next door, young adults. We're working together with that program. There's a school next door we're attached to called Covenant Academy. Mm-hmm. We work with their staffing to do child care for their children while their parents are in school. Mm-hmm. So we actually have 2 infant rooms and a toddler room and so on. So there's each classroom is categorized by age.
Okay. What are some of the things that you teach at Walker's Daycare?
We are a family-owned business, so we are very family-oriented. We have a lot of, family-oriented things that we do. We have a faith-based organization. We are also working on our creative curriculum. That is our day-to-day curriculum that we use with the kids. We have a loving and caring environment that we nurture our children, and we are very inviting here.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the board already. And Muskegon, Anthony Miller. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Anthony.
Okay, so faith-based, family-oriented, some of the things that you teach in a broad span. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, you said you have 75 kids. That is a large.
No, we don't have 75 kids. We have the capacity.
Capacity.
Yes, sir.
Of 70, but still, you had a capacity of 75 kids. That is a lot of kids.
It is. And we're working on getting there.
Yeah. How many people do you employ?
Right now there are 12 employees.
Okay. And what shifts do you cover?
We have first, second, and third shift. Our third shift has a capacity of 32. Mm-hmm.
Back to Anthony Miller. He says afternoon to you too as well.
Good afternoon, Mr. Miller.
So you cover first, second, and third shift?
Yes, Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday?
Yes, sir.
Talk to people a little bit, because you've been doing this for a little while. Talk to people.
Yes.
The importance of daycare.
Child care? Yes. Yeah. I think that child care is very important. It gives your child structure. It gives your child organization. It gives your child a sense of belonging. It gives your child the interaction, the time to interact with peers, the time to interact with staff. It gives them a day-to-day schedule so that they know that life is pretty much a schedule. It starts them off. We are definitely taking our time to integrate what we have learned as staff to work with our children. We have CDA degrees here. We have few of our staff that are working on furthering their education. Okay. A CDA is a child development associates. So mm-hmm. some of our staff are degree holders. We have, like I said, we have a mixture of races. We're very integrated. We are definitely a family, like I said, a family oriented. We came from a daycare home. We've been at home for 29 years and newly into this building within the last 8 months. We've been in the building for over a year, but the kids did not come into the building until 8 months ago. We were actually here painting and doing different things to get the building ready for the kids to come.
Mm-hmm. Talk to those people, the process, because I know, because, you know, I work with kids and I have to be fingerprinted and the security. Mm-hmm. Talk about the things that you have to do to provide a safe environment for the kids.
Okay. All of our staff go through a screening process. They have to be registered and fingerprinted. They make sure that they go through a background check. They also have to have certain credentials in order to come in and work with the children. There's a checklist of things that have to be completed before you can even come into the school and work with the children, such as CPR and first aid. There's also a few things that are necessary to have the children in your care. You have to make sure that you go through and you do different courses that have to be taken before you can step into class. Regardless of your background in education, you still have to take these particular courses in order to work with the children.
Let's go to the board. It says, do you currently have any openings?
Yes, we do. We have openings on all three shifts. Our address is 1385 Ransom Street. We are currently working on a website, but we do have a Facebook page. It is Daycare Walker. We will be revamping that as well very soon and linking that to our website.
With that said, are you currently hiring as well?
We are still hiring. We are still looking for our family here. We are still looking for our daycare family here. Yes, we are.
I love that the emphasis is on family. What is that person, the qualities that they have to be employed by your agency?
They have to be, first of all, they have to be nurturing people. You have to have that nurturing heart in order to work with children. You have to be patient. You have to be basically flexible, because every day changes. You plan on things and they don't quite go how you expect them to go. You have to be flexible and able to change things in order to make the flow of the day continue to go, because something happened, the day doesn't stop there. We have to keep going. You have to be versatile. You have to be able to adjust to things. If it's not quite what you were expecting, just take it with a grain of salt and keep moving, because that probably wasn't what the children or the parent or the staff was expecting as well. So you have to be very caring, nurturing, and like I said, versatile, because the day you might expect one thing and you might have something completely different when you actually get in there.
I want you to go back and revisit because I work with young kids to adults and teach this skill, that you have a plan that you want to accomplish, but that plan changes and you have to be able to adjust.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Things, we have a daily schedule that is kept daily, but if something happens, then that daily schedule might get tweaked a little bit. Something might have to go and move around. Something might have to get done at a later time, but we definitely try to get things done, get everything done that is on our list to complete for the day. But if you, like you said, if it doesn't go quite how we expected it to go, we'll transition and we'll move forward and keep going. We'll, you know, sometimes some days work better than others, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. Talk to our audience and our viewers, because this is one of the top things when it comes to childcare is on the minds of people is the expense. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Like I said, once again, we are a family-oriented business. So if there happens to be an issue with payments, we definitely deal with those on an individual basis. But a lot of our children are CDC or DHS payments. That's to where they apply through DHS with their My Bridges account. They get approved through their caseworker, and then we work hand in hand with the caseworkers to make sure that ours are covered. Mm-hmm. Parents generally ask for hours depending on what their shifts are. We generally remind them that if you work a 80-hour, 2-week period job, you should make sure that you let your caseworker know that I have an 80-hour a week job, so therefore I'll need that extra 5 hours a week to come into and from work to drop off my kid to have that 30 hours. So we have some families that are up into the area to where they have a 90-hour per 2-week period, which covers their 40 hours a week while they're working and 5 hours a week, which is 30 minutes before and after work to come and get their kids.
Let's go back to board. It says, what kinds of activities or trips do the children participate in?
Oh, yes. Yes, I love it. That's my favorite part of the deal. We actually do a lot with the community. We usually do something 2 to 3 times a year, usually inviting families. We usually do something around Christmas time. We usually do a family Christmas dinner where we bring in the family, bring in the kids, and everybody's welcome to have dinner together. We usually do something around Halloween time where we usually do a pumpkin patch or an apple patch or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's where families are invited to come right along with them. We actually have something coming up to where we have a fundraiser. We are all going to the Detroit Pistons game. Nice. And our tickets are $65 a piece. With that fundraiser, you have your seat included. There's a wristband that you will receive. You have unlimited popcorn, unlimited pop, unlimited hot dogs, and unlimited nachos. And we sit as together as a group. And then we also have an area that's a general area behind us to where they know we have kids, so we're able to get up out of our seats and go to an area and spend this time with the kids to where we're not actually in a seat in the bleachers. We have a separate space to where the kids can walk around. We usually do an activity like that once a year, and then we usually do a summer activity. Like we'll do like a back-to-school carnival or something like that to where we invite the community, we invite mm-hmm. our families, and we tell them to just come on out and enjoy this time with us.
Now, I've done my snooping now. I did my snooping to check out the agency. I've heard nothing but rave reviews about your agency. But I want to change hats for a little bit because parenting in somewhat has changed when it comes down to patients and stuff like that. What is some advice that you would give to parents or future parents?
Parents or future parents? I would definitely say At this age, it is our job to make sure that we implement the correct things and plant the correct seeds so that they can grow and flourish. I also recommend repetition. Repetition. Read the same books at nighttime. Talk about the same things, the same colors. So this week we're going to talk about red. Red is our color for the week, guys. So when your parents are in your car and you're driving down the street, it's engaging to say, okay, I think I see something red. What's coming up? Do you see? Oh, I see this red car. I see this red house. Just make sure that we're repeating. That's how this age learns.
One of the things that I tell the parents that I work with is that really celebrate almost overboard when they do something great, to really have that big smile and that big laugh and clap their hands to celebrate. How important is that encouragement?
Oh, encouragement is everything. Everything. We definitely have our teachers have their own way of doing things, but we have a few teachers that say different things like, okay, friends, you know, we'll do like a kiss your brain. Everybody kiss your brain. Or we're going to go around and let's give our friends a high five, you know, good morning songs, different things like that, that keep engaging our children, to keep repeating and keep reminding them, great job, good job. Encouraging is everything, because we are the start of everything. If they see that they're doing something correct by us teaching them, and we praise them and we encourage them and we keep giving them that positive, they're going to do it again, because they're going to, whatever that is, if they're toileting, if they're learning how to eat with their spoon, if they're learning how to use utensils, if they're learning how to hold their pencil, just keep encouraging. Great job holding that pencil, friend. Good job. Just keep going, because that's how they learn. That's how they know that they're doing the right thing. So they're holding their pencil and they're looking for you to say good job. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you hold that pencil. Good job, friend. Yes.
We're going back to the board, and this is a very good question. What about your thoughts? What are your thoughts about children and screen time? Oh, I'll face this stuff.
I am a super TT. I don't have any children myself. I have all brothers, and I am the only aunt on my mother's side. I don't do screen time. Everything to me personally is a time thing. Yes, you can use your screen for a minimum amount of time. That should all be minimized. They should have that as a reward for a minimal time. Yes, you're able to use this tablet for 15 minutes, and then we're going to transition out and do something else. Okay. Maybe when we do, you know, this X, Y, or Z, or what's next, then we'll come back. And maybe when we do those things, we can come back and get 15 more minutes of screen time. But I am not a real big fan of screen time at all. My nieces and nephews, they already know, I'll give you my phone. Yeah, give me your phone, buddy. Yes.
So forget about it. You know, talk to people out there that say, you know, I can't afford it. I'm looking at the budget, but they really, what they should do is come and talk to you.
Come and talk to us. Yes. Come and talk to us. Each individual family is a different situation. We are, like I said, a family oriented business. What works for one family may not work for another family. And one child in one family is a complete different situation from another family having 4, 5, or 6 children. Mm-hmm. If that mother comes in here and has that conversation with us, we have a heart. We are compassionate. We will do something to make sure that we're working together, working with DHS, working with your worker. We have a few different programs that we work with as well. Some jobs are working with a program called TriShare that we also participate in. And that's a program to where if your company comes along board, we agree to your company paying 1/3, TriShare paying 1/3, and you paying 1/3. So there's plenty of different programs that we can work with you on. Yes, please come in. Let's have that conversation. Let's move forward to see what can be done for you.
That last program that you mentioned is so huge, because I know that there are a lot of people that have to debate, do they take a job or do they stay home for childcare? But there actually is help out there and available.
Yes. They just have to go out there and seek and find it. They have to ask the right people so that they can be put in the correct places.
Mm-hmm. So give us your location. Tell people that you do have openings, job-wise and child-wise. And, yes, you know, again, give us that shameless plug.
Yes. We do have openings at Walker's Daycare Starter Education. We are looking for other quality staff to come along and join us and join our family, join our team. We are looking to educate you if you need that help, if you need that heads up to get you to where you're trying to go, to put your children in childcare, come and have that conversation with us. Yes, come in. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's see what can be done for you.
Lastly, again, I want to go for you encouraging people out there with kids. Mm-hmm. When money's tight, time is short, food is maybe limited, and you're doing everything not to explode, and you shouldn't explode on your children. Talk to those people.
Life definitely lights for everybody at different times. I will say that first. But if you don't put yourself out there to ask for help, you will not receive it. If you don't put yourself out there in front of the right people that can help you, then you won't receive it. But there are plenty of programs out here that can help you. You could come in and sit with our office staff. They are more than willing to sit with you to work on things to make sure that we can meet each other halfway. And like I said, we are a family-oriented business. So what DHS might not work for you or what TriShare might not work for you does not mean that we can't come up with an agreement together and work on something to get you childcare so that you can get yourself out there in the workforce, so that you can get yourself out there in the field to get your feet wet, to see what you like to do. You might even be a staff that want to work here. You're more than welcome to work here. You just won't be able to work in the class with your children.
Mm-hmm. What about a phone number that people could call to reach you?
Yes, our phone number is 231-246-6895.
But can we count on you to, because there are a lot of children issues that we need to talk about. Can we have you on the show down the line?
Yes, call me. Yes, let's have this conversation. I am a very busy person. I have 15 hats, but I'm always willing to put into my community. I have been a resident of Grand Rapids, Michigan for 15 years, but with my mother in this lovely business, I am always pulled back home. This is home.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
I look forward to coming and taking a tour.
I look forward to seeing you. Yes, let's make sure we do something. Yes, let's get together and make sure we plan something.
Awesome. Loretta Bruce of Walker's Daycare Starters Education, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you again.
All right. Wow. That was Loretta Bruce of Walker's Daycare Starter Education, LLC. You know what? You really need to get over there and have a conversation with her. All right, it's the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break, talk a little bit, and hopefully our next guest will be here shortly. You're watching Community Focus with Gregory T. Roberts, Melvin Burns, formerly known as Tony 2, on 103.7 The Beat and M106. We'll see you in a second. Welcome back to 103.7 The Beat and M106, Community Focus, formerly known as Torn Into. Our second guest is no guest to this station. This is my brother in Christ, my brother. We've traveled many roads. We've done many of things. And I really love him dearly. He took the time to be on the show. Put your hands together for Mr. John Covington. How you doing, sir?
Hey, man, with an introduction and a welcome like that, how could I not be doing great? I'm doing well. Thank you, my brother. How you doing?
I'm doing well, brother. I was sharing at the beginning of the show, before we go into the topic that we wanted to talk about, you and I share another common goal of the church that we started at was Bethesda Baptist. And the pastor there, Pastor Poole, and this would have been his birthday today, which he shared with my grandmother and mother. Before we get in, I wanted you to have an opportunity to talk a little bit about him.
Oh, man. Charles Poole. You know, I've said it on multiple stages and platforms that he was the most influential man in my life. There may have been some as influential, but none greater with influence as it relates to me. He taught me so much. And one of the things that he taught me, he baptized me at age 10. And one of the things that he taught me, Greg, was always treat people like people. And nobody's any better than anybody else. Some people may be better off than. But he also taught me the art of diplomacy and how to get the things done that you desire to get done, regardless of whom it is that you have to negotiate. He understood diplomacy, and I watched him. He was really the architect of the art of the deal. When you think about, let's use Muskegon Public Schools, for example, a city we were both born in, grew up in. When you think about Muskegon Public Schools, Charles Poole transformed that school district. He was the first African-American elected to public office in the city of Muskegon, and that was via the Muskegon School Board, to which he was at the top of the helm for the school board more than a few times, once back early decades ago, and then came back and was the president of the board again. But the African-American influx into the Muskegon school system, I won't say it was single-handedly Charles Poole, but Charles Poole was definitely the architect of what we saw happen there. And I'm not all black, I'm not all white, I'm not all this and I'm not all that, but I am all about fairness.
Yes.
And I'm all about what's the right thing to do. And one thing we know is in a community that looks like these people and these people and these people and these people, that the decision makers should also look like these people and these people and these people and these people. And that's what Charles Poole was all about. Mm-hmm. He was all about fair representation. Obviously, that means diversity. So I watched him closely. I was a student of his.
Yes.
And I watched him every single step of the way. And whatever it is I've become, I would say that he single-handedly is responsible. The majority of whatever I've become, he's responsible for that. I would also say, and I told him this, and whatever I haven't become, I'm faulting him for that too. and I'm like, it's your fault, whatever I've not become. And, you know, and so I'm still on my journey, still trying to figure stuff out. I don't have it all figured out. But I do know that I am a much better person than I would be had it not been for the influence and for his influence in my life. He was just, I didn't say he was a perfect man, but he was a great man.
Yes.
Who just really made a difference in my life. And I know there's so many others who feel the same way about him, who grew up in Bethesda, who had an opportunity to travel with him cross country like I did. But I will say, despite what Jerry Riley or Eric Hayes or David Newsom,
yes,
Frank Cox, There are others, despite what they would say, I'm definitely his favorite. I was his favorite.
Now, speaking of the favorite, you have been involved in so many things, but coming up, the NAACP Image Awards are coming up.
Yes, sir.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I am producing and co-hosting Our Culture, Our Stories, which is a presentation of the NAACP Image Awards. This is the 56th year of the NAACP Image Awards. And I'm elated that they asked me to come on board and assist with this project. I was originally hired to produce the project, and then somehow, somewhere along the way, I became one of the two main hosts of the show. It will be announced at the NAACP Image Awards. There'll be some sneak peeks that'll come out before. I think the first episode features Sterling K. Brown and his wife. The second episode features Ruth E. Carter, who is the only African-American woman to win two Academy Awards. Nobody else has won two Academy Awards. Some people like Halle and Whoopi and some others have won
one
an award, but nobody had won two prior to Ruth E. Carter. And so I like to say she's one of one. She is a costume designer, and she did costumes for the Black Panther movie and the sequel to that, and just a ton of movies that she was the costume designer for. And I think most people saw Black Panther in the sequel, which the name escapes me right now. But she's featured in the second episode, and some of the episodes have more than one person. But she was so dynamic that it's just she and I the entire episode, which is close to an hour. But she's fascinated. And one of the things that I do in this series is I talk to them about where they came from and what were the keys to getting, do they believe, to getting to where they are. Just a few days ago, I interviewed Connie Orlando, who is the executive vice president for BET. And she is in charge of all the music programming at BET, including the BET Awards. And she's in charge of original programming for the network. And I had a sit down with her for over an hour. And I also recently interviewed Jasmine Crockett, the congresswoman from the state of Texas. And I had a sit down a few days ago with a couple of people a few days ago, but Maxine Waters.
I said the Honorable Maxine Waters.
Yeah. I had a sit down with Maxine Waters, reclaiming my time. And in the interview, I'll just tell you, I asked her, would she indulge me and would she repeat her famous reclaiming my time line? And she sat back, she folded her legs, crossed her legs, put her hand up, and she said, reclaiming my time. And so she shares things that people didn't know about her previously. Her bodyguard said to me that was one of the best interviews that he'd ever seen her do. Wow. He travels with her religiously. So a lot of other folks who are a part of, we got Joe Morton, who played Papa Pope on the film Scandal, and we had Lonnie Love a few days ago in the studio. She was the host of The Real talk show. Just a myriad of people, and there are a bunch of others who were yet slated to have a sit down with. But it's a wide array of people and politicians and entertainers and just the whole gamut.
John, you have this way of just bringing out things out of people. Would you talk a little bit, because you just said a bunch of names. People see stars or senators or whatever, and they think this status, but they don't know the human being. They don't know how humble or where they came from, and that these are actual loving, caring people.
Yeah, they're just normal. My daughter sees that. She'll be wondering, why was I on and my things were not, you know.
My wife would have done the same.
Yeah, my wife not so much, but that daughter of mine, man, should be on me. What you'll see in this series is that they really are just normal people. Some of them may have more zeros in their bank account, and some of them maybe not. You know, fame does not necessarily mean rich. And rich doesn't necessarily mean famous, but this series shows that they're just normal, everyday people. And some of the questions that I ask people, you find out in their answers that they've had heartbreak, they've made poor decisions, they've had health challenges, they're still trying to figure it out. And so I say to people who think, and I've had the opportunity to interview celebrities and professional athletes and politicians for many, many, many years now. And one thing I know for sure is that they're just like you and me.
Mm-hmm. John, I want you to talk to our listeners and viewers because I know you, we got the image board, but I want to go back to the Honorable Maxine. Mm-hmm. What does she think about the current state right now of politics? You just got a smile on your face of politics.
She thinks that the people of this country have to stand up. And that they have to stand firm. And she says that in all of her decades of public service, she has never experienced anything like the leadership that is currently the leadership of the executive branch. She's fearless. And however, she says, people, it's not time to sleep. And there's some other things that she says that I'll just let I'll let her say them
right
in her words. But yeah, she says in all her years of service, Republican, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter. She says, but she's never seen anything like what we're seeing currently.
Getting back
And she felt that way in 2016.
Wow. Let's go back to the awards. It takes a lot to put on these shows. Mm. And in your position, explain to our listeners and our viewers, what does it take to actually make this happen?
Well, for those who have been a part of the Beat Awards, you know, over the years, we've done Beat Awards, and I've had people say to me in Muskegon, when they come to rehearsal or when they come to practice reading the teleprompter, et cetera, they would go, wow, you know, just sitting here, I had no idea that all of this goes into it behind the scenes. Well, the NAACP Image Awards are like the Beat Awards on some steroids you never heard of.
Right.
Like, it is just asinine, all the working parts. And I'm working on an extension of the NAACP Image Awards, and it's the Our Culture, Our Stories series. Nice. Mm-hmm. It's a podcast series. It's a visual podcast series, but it will also you'll also be able to get it on Apple and Amazon and all of the other platforms. But there's a lot of work that's gone into just this part, this component of the NAACP Image Awards, which is kind of, I would consider it an extension, but a lot goes into it. A lot goes into it. So my days on set vary depending on what's happening, but it's a pretty brisk set. I'm excited that in a few I'll be having lunch with my godbrother David Newsom, who's cooking some chicken wings and some mac and cheese.
You tell him I said hello.
I will, and some cabbage. I don't really eat cabbage that much, but Keith Allen, who is also, you know, one of my brothers, we all grew up at Bethesda together. They're a bit younger than I, but I'm able to have lunch with them shortly, and I'm excited about that. But a lot of work goes into everything that you see on a platform like the NAACP Image Awards, or in this case, the NAACP Image Awards podcast series, Our Culture, Our Stories.
John, talk a little bit, you know, from us being, you know, growing up, going to Muskegon Public Schools, to where we are now. And you have traveled and done so much representing Muskegon, and always have stated and have been a flag of representing Muskegon. Talk a little bit about that.
I grew up at 151 Allen Avenue, right there at Spring and Allen Street. The house is no longer there. Two bedroom, one bathroom. My brother Rico and I, we slept essentially in a hallway that had like a little closet, but it was a hallway. So people went to the bathroom at night, they had to walk through our bedroom. Very humble beginnings. Poor, but never knew we were poor. Mm-hmm. And I laugh about this when I talk to Debbie Green and Portia White and my late sister, Robbie Huff. May she rest in peace. I miss her. But when we talk about growing up, I think we were all poor. We didn't know we were poor right there on Allen Avenue. A lot of love, and really the neighborhood shaped me and who I would become. I would say the neighborhood, Hackley Library, school teachers like the late Miss Jacobasi at Steele Middle School, who just passed, Mr. Gibner at Muskegon, Charles Poole, Bethesda Baptist Church. So most of my elements, most of the elements that I've been able to carry through life, I got in Muskegon, Michigan. Wow. Like Muskegon, Michigan is the foundation. And so I could never go somewhere and say I'm from somewhere else. I'm from Muskegon, Michigan. And it's just really molded me into the man I've become. Mm-hmm. And perhaps in some ways, it's also contributed to my shortcomings and my mistakes in life, too. But that's all a part of community, right? You got up, you got down, you got good, you got bad. You got great influences, you've got some not so great, but all in all, when you put it in a package, when you put it all together, Muskegon, Michigan made me.
John, let me read this statement and then I'll bring it up. This is from Paul Allen Billings, and I'll bring it up. It says, you've been a constant source of inspiration and you represent the principle of Black excellence. Your achievement and character are testament to hard work and dedication, and we are truly fortunate to have you in our lives. With all your success, your numbers is still the same, and you are still Uncle JC.
Listen, man, I'm not even going to read that because, Greg, you get a certain age in life and you understand really what life is all about. You can put it back up. I'm just not going to read it. You can put it back up there. Like, that's what matters, is that somebody says, you've been consistent, you're constant, your character matters, you're resilient, you work hard, you're dedicated, you're the same, you got the same number for the last phone number for the last 32 years. I've had the same phone number because it's important to me. You know, relationships, that's what matters. I love what I'm doing. I'm grateful for what I'm doing. I was telling somebody the other day, thank you, PA. That's my brother. That's my brother. Mm-hmm. Our DNA being the same couldn't make us any closer. Mm. I'm gonna say that. That's my brother. And I feel the same way about him. But I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know, I thought I'd be slowing down. I thought I'd be retiring by now or close to it. But I find myself, and, you know, I say this humbly, but I find myself in tremendous demand. Mm-hmm. And I know that's nothing but God.
Amen.
I know that's nothing but God. That's nothing but God. Am I working a bit harder than I really would like to? I think so, but I'm putting some mechanisms in place so that as my brain slows down a little bit, hopefully it won't slow down my progress in this space. And hopefully I'm able to make a difference and teach some young people what it is that I do. So, but anyway, I was talking to this friend and I was telling him that, and the guy who hired me actually for this project, and he said, well, what nobody told you was, he kind of got a southern draw. He said, what nobody told you was you run into your superpowers when you get a certain age. and I just laughed and I thought about it. I've been thinking about it. I'm like, wow. And so maybe that's why I've been blessed with something still, and maybe that's why I'm still going.
But yeah, I spoke at the prison, and we're considered OGs now, but I spoke to the OGs that don't get tired, to continue to be out there speaking to the younger folks. I want you to speak to those guys and then speak to the young people that have aspirations to follow and be higher and not lower the bar like Pastor Poole never did.
Well, first, I think as it relates to young people, I want you to know that you can accomplish anything that you want to do, regardless of where you come from, regardless of who you know, regardless of how much money you have or don't have, regardless of what kind of car your parents or your folks drive, none of that matters. The only thing that matters is that you believe that you can accomplish anything. I am a witness and a living testimony. I told you where I grew up at. I told you what the circumstances were growing up. I came up in the crack era. That's when I came up. And there are lots of casualties to my environment. Mm-hmm. There are lots of guys who are no longer with us as a result of the crack epidemic And I can go on and on and on and on. But one thing that I figured out, and I didn't know how, didn't know when, but I figured out that I could do anything that I wanted to do. And if I can do that, that means that you can too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I would say to young folks, be inspired. And everybody who hits me up, direct messenger, people, young people hit me up sometime and say, hey, I'm wondering X, Y, Z, da, 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 da. I take the time to respond to them. Because I was once that young person and I didn't have an internet. I couldn't do a messenger or message.
Right. Somebody, right.
You know, that
you
I
did it the old way, the old fashioned way.
Yeah. So they have unlimited access. There's no excuse. There's zero excuse for you as a young person not to be doing what it is that you want to do. There's just no excuse whatsoever.
What about that old G, don't go weary, don't go tired of doing, just we need you to help raise and tell people, be transparent of what you went through and that you can do even better.
I would say to the old OG, like myself, I would say, yesterday is three things. Yesterday is either an unpleasant memory, a pleasant memory, but the third thing is it's gone. It's over. So whatever you did yesterday, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Too often, we as older people don't step in to be the difference, to share our wisdom, is because of our own mistakes. And we feel oftentimes that we're not worthy because we did this or we did that or we did this or we did that or we did this. That's why you have the ability to share what not to do, or that's why you have the ability to enlighten others as to because of your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as it relates to personal, in other words, you got to forgive yourself.
Yes.
If you're an OG, whatever you did yesterday, last, and I mean yesterday figuratively, it could be literal or it could be figuratively. If you're an OG and you're 60 years old, I'm talking about, you know, when you're 30, 40 years old, you've been incarcerated and you're out of prison. You've been to prison. You've done your time. You've served your obligation. And now you're back. Right? Forgive yourself. What's mm-hmm. done is done. It's over. Yesterday is either a good memory or a bad memory. But one thing for sure is that it's over. And so I think that we have an opportunity, and not just for young people, but I think we have an opportunity too for ourselves and our peers, our age, those constituents in our age range. I think we have an opportunity to make a difference where they count also. But more importantly, equally as important, I guess I should say, is that you have an opportunity to do better. As long as you're breathing, no matter what's happened, as long as you are breathing, OG, you have an opportunity to get it together no matter what happened in your life.
Well said. John, with that, the top of the hour, brother, you know I love you dearly. Thank you for the words of encouragement. Mm-hmm. Congratulations once again. And I'll be seeing you soon, my brother. Love you dearly.
Love you more.
Listen, that's an inner community focus for this week. Take care. God bless. And remember, this year is the year that you go out and seek knowledge and truth. Take care. God bless. We see you next week on Community Focus.